Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Wednesday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, grateful to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has given me opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to this broadcast at. And it doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over there, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Glory be to God. So wherever you listen to me at, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Glory be to God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again that, Lord, you have blessed us on this blessed day to come together to enter your word once again. We request, Lord God, for your spirit to be with us, because without your spirit, we can comprehend nothing. So therefore, Father, we ask that you release understanding into our hearts. To everyone that is listening, that they will have a heart to seek your face concerning the things that are given unto them. Father, I thank you, Lord, for such a golden opportunity and a chance of this that you have given. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, glory be to God. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 49, of Psalms, chapter 49. And we're going to pick up from where we left off at. And I just want to give a quick recap of how we got there. First of all, the name, the title of this lesson tonight is Jesus Angel, a Resurrected Being, Revised Part 2. And we have been looking at, as I've been instructed of the Lord to tell you so and let you choose, that the Lord has been sending his angel from 1927 to 1994 thus far, approximately 120 times. I read one of the verses of one of the messages that this angelic being brought, and in the message he bringing the words of Christ, which said that I would that all mankind would hear my angel, whom I have sent. Glory be to God. And from there, we started to ask the question, who is this angel? Does this angel have a name? Now, we know that from the Bible, whenever you read about an angel of the Lord, it doesn't always give his name, but there are some that it does give the name of these angels, like Gabriel and Michael. So it is scripture that is somewhat, there are names, angels do have names, but also everywhere where you read about an angelic being of the Lord appearing, it doesn't always give the name of the angel. And so based on that, from this angelic being who has laid claim that he is bringing word from Jesus Christ, our next question is, does this angelic being have a name? And reading from one of the other messages, this angelic being was permitted and authorized by God to tell us that he is the resurrected John the Baptist. Now, having read that, as I said before, I know that when some of you believers, because I'm not so much as saying this at the sinners, but some of you believers, to hear that an angelic being has laid claim that he is John the Baptist resurrected. I know that some of you start going, oh man, they worshiping a dead man, or they listening to a dead man. But however, one of the things I pointed out to you in reading that is that this angelic being said he is the resurrected John the Baptist, okay? Which means he was raised from the dead, okay? And being raised from the dead also, he had to also be referring to being raised from the dead to immortality. And the reason why that's so is because that the first message that he brought in 1927, John the Baptist, when he was here on this earth, lived basically over 2,000 years ago. And so therefore, there's no one we know of, and there is no one even today who is even 1,000 years old, okay? So therefore, this angelic being has to say that concerning him being resurrected, John the Baptist, resurrected to immortality. Amen. And so what we did from there, glory be to God, we also read, I read to you another one of the verses to see how can this be. Well, we understand he said he's resurrected, but also in another message where he brought, which was called the 91st message, he told us that he arose when Christ arose from the tomb. And he tells us also that he is resurrected, body, flesh, and bone, which we looked at from the scripture in Luke 24 and saw that what he spoke was in line with what Christ said concerning himself after he was resurrected from the dead, okay? That Christ said, told his disciples, hey, a spirit have not flesh and bone. So therefore, we know that what this angelic being was saying right in that part, because it matched with scripture. If it had at any point, if he would have said, I am flesh, blood, and bone, then we know that it would not be of God, because with the resurrected body, there is no blood, okay? Now, having said that, we also went from there, and we was taking a look at one of the things, another thing they said, was that he is resurrected in and with the redeemed of the Lord. So the question was, who is the redeemed of the Lord, that this resurrected, this angelic being who has laid claim to tell us that he is the resurrected John the Baptist, who is this redeemed of the Lord that he's talking about? So that brings us to this 49th chapter of the book of Psalms, 15 verse, where we left off yesterday. So let us look there again and read here again from this verse, Psalms 49 and 15. And the word of God says, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Okay? So according to this verse right here, one aspect of who are the redeemed of the Lord? Okay? Reading this 15th verse in the 49th chapter of Psalm, we see that in one aspect, the redeemed of the Lord are those whose soul was delivered from the power of the grave. Okay? Understand that. See, here, the writer of Psalm said, but God will redeem my soul. He will redeem my soul. He would, according to the Hebrew word, he would sever, that is ransom, generally to release and preserve. The writer is saying that God is going to release my soul from the grave. You understand that? God is going to ransom me from the grave. You know, we when we think of a ransom, we think that, you know, somebody being kidnapped and the kidnappers is asking for money. So you're in captivity, somebody else, and according to the kidnappers, hey, I let you go if you give this amount of money. Well, that's what we refer as ransom money. The money will be used to free the one who is captive. Okay. So here in Psalms, it said that the Lord shall redeem my soul. And he said, from the power of the grave. Now, I was sharing with you a twofold application of grave, okay? Number one, the word grave from the regular Hebrew word is Sheol. And Sheol means Hades or the world of the dead, okay? Hades or the world of the dead. Now, when you look at that aspect, and especially when he said, the Lord shall redeem my soul from the power of the grave. Now, when we look in the scriptures, when death happens, the spirit and soul depart from the body. Okay. Now, when you're talking about grave, there is a literal grave, and then there is a spiritual grave, which I just read to you here, which is called Sheol. And in Sheol, that's where the spirit and souls of men were, okay? The body was the one where we see that was buried in the literal grave, okay? Now, Jesus broke the power of both of them, okay? The literal grave that held the captive bodies and the spiritual grave, okay? But the redeemed of the Lord was those who are, especially in one aspect here, as we read in Psalm 49, whose soul was delivered from the power of the grave. So when this angelic being who tells us that he's the resurrected John the Baptist and that he is resurrected in and with the redeemed of the Lord, the redeemed of the Lord, is who he's talking about, is those who were, whose soul was delivered from the power of the grave, okay? Or from the world of the dead, Sheol was the place. Now, when we went over this yesterday, we also looked in Luke chapter 16, and we looked at the story that Christ gave about the rich man and the beggar, and how both of them died, and the rich man ended up in hell in the tormented place. And there was a gulf between him and another part of that place down there. There was no torment. That place is Sheol. And that's the place where Abraham was. And if you remember from reading where Jesus gave an account of that, that beggar was laying in the bosom of Abraham. Okay? But he wasn't in torment. He was comforted. Okay? While the rich man was in torment. Now, that part where the beggar and Abraham was, which is Sheol, was the part where the Old Testament saints were before Christ had died. You understand this? The Old Testament saints was not in the torment part where the rich man was. They was in the part where Abraham bosomed. Now you said, well, why did they end up going down there anyhow? Because remember, even though these was declared to be the people of God, they was not regenerated or born again, okay? Glory to God. But they went to a place when they died where they were kept there until Christ would come for them, okay? Amen. And it was not a place of torment, as we see in Luke 16, okay? Because remember, the rich man talked to Abraham, and he said, Father Abraham, let you know, he was talking about let the beggar, his finger in you know, in the water, in the cool water, because he was tormented in those flames, okay? So those whose soul was delivered from the power of the grave, who was released from the power of the grave, that spiritual grave down there, okay? Hallelujah. That's who this angelic being, the resurrected John the Baptist, was resurrected in and with, okay? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for the word of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, having said that and established that, we're going to look a little bit further to see where else in Scripture supports concerning John the Baptist being resurrected from the dead. Amen. Because remember, God's protocol, where God set up proving all things, is to be in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Okay. I think that many times as Christians, we miss that. We end off on the wrong road, or we end off accepting something that is not of God, because we don't apply the protocol of God's protocol to things to see what is of God. And you're going to see more and more people these days caught up in a lot of stuff because they won't apply the protocol. Now, some of them is in ignorance about it, and some of them ain't, okay? Some of them just don't apply it. Some of them just accepting stuff because, quote, the person that said it was a close friend of theirs, or perhaps their husband, or perhaps their wife, okay, kinfolks or something like that. So they won't apply the protocol. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 27. And we're going to go and read verses 50 to verse 53 in Matthew chapter 27. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the living God. Our Lord is so worthy to be praised and be glorified. And I want to say this before I go any further, people, listen. Get ready. Get ready. Get prepared. I'm telling you, you know, there's things coming. And remember, we have read to you all on more than one occasion, if you've been listening to the broadcast, that there's three places that God talks about, for example, trouble hitting the nation, the church, and the home. So I'm telling you, get ready. Okay, get ready. Now, Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 to 53. And the word of God says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, meaning he died. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints, do you see that, which slept arose. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. They was resurrected, spirit, soul, and body. Remember, I told you, graves have a twofold application. There's the literal grave where the bodies are buried at, and then there is the grave, the world of the dead, where we read to you, Sheol, okay? Amen. Glory be to God. But in the resurrection, the spirit and soul reunites with the body. Now, this is proof right here that John did resurrect, okay? Amen. Because he was one of the saints, which we will look a little further in a minute. And I want to say something else to this too. And like I said, I've said this a few times before, and I say it again, and some people, you know, may think I'm trying to be insensitive when I say this. But I have heard this common saying for years. I mean, from different folks. I mean, for over years. And when I remember when I was first started hearing it, you know, I heard it, but I really didn't put a whole lot of thought into it. Then, as I got older, I started hearing it in the wind again at times from different folks, even family folks. And the phrase were, you know, for example, if granddaddy asked you, say, hey, how you went to your grandmama's grave? She would be turning over in her grave if she found out you weren't coming. And so I say that to say this. We're told in verse 53 that many bodies of the saints, many bodies of the saints were slept or rose. Now, in the literal grave, the bodies is in the literal grave, not the spirit, not the soul. So when they tell, when I hear so-and-so be turned over in their grave, I say they're not in the grave. They're not in the literal grave. They're not in that grave. Okay. Well, yeah. Well, that's a they mama died, and that was their mama. Nope, that she's not in there. She's not in there. Depending on what the spirit was, she either in paradise or she's in hell. One or two places. She's not in that grave per se, the literal grave right there. She's not in there. Now this is kind of something that makes some people real mad because they just bent on saying. They in the grave right there. They in the grave. And they're going to a grave site where the house, which is the body, was buried there. Okay? See, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the fullness of man is spirit, soul, and body. And see, you are a spiritual being. All humanity was created by God. And we was created in God's image. And so what is God? Well, John 4:24 tells us that God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Now, so if we was created in his image, that means we're a spiritual being. So the real you is the spirit. Your body is just a house that houses your spirit and soul. So when you go to a funeral, and you see, look in the casket, what you seeing is the house or the body that the spirit and soul was in. You understand that? Because the body is not the overall deal, okay? You know, people look at it, no, that's not the, what, here, the overall deal, the spirit and soul, the overall deal is either one or two places. They either in heaven or hell, period, point blank. That we ain't no need of beating around the bush about it. They eat in one or two places, okay? And so, like I said, I hear so many people say, oh, so-and-so is in their grave, turn in their grave. I like, no, they ain't right there in their grave, okay? Amen, they're not there. Well, yes, like I said, you going to get, there are some people will get hot behind what I just said because they just so... just banking on that loved one that died is right there in the grave. They're not in the grave. They're not right there in that literal grave. That's what you saw buried was the house. What you saw in the casket was the house that housed the real them, which is a spirit being. Okay? Now, so the word of God says here that many bodies of the saints which slept arose. These are the ones that part of dealing with Psalms 49:15 that we just read, the redeemer of the Lord, those whose soul were delivered from the power of the grave. Okay? Hallelujah. Because, see, their spirit and soul reunited with their bodies. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. And then went after, now notice it says in verse 53, and came out of the graves after his resurrection. After whose resurrection? Christ. Because Jesus paved the way for the resurrection to be. He broke the power over the grave. The literal grave was holding the bodies, and the spiritual grave was show that they held the spirit and souls of the Old Testament saints. He broke the power of the grave. You get that? Hallelujah. So this resurrection couldn't happen until after his resurrection. In other words, he had to be the one to pave the way. See, no one else, and I don't care, you know, you take Moses, the Bible tells us that he was the meekest man on earth, but see, Moses had sin in his life. Nobody could have done what Jesus did. Nobody, see, the graves had the right to mankind, period. The graves had the right to mankind. And therefore, there had to be a sacrifice made and a ransom given to redeem man. And Christ was the one. So the Bible said here, and they came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. That means people saw them. People saw them. Now, notice it said it appeared to many. It didn't say all. So everybody didn't see them, but there was many that did. Okay? Get that. There was many that did. And so John was one of those saints. So that goes in line with this angelic being who's been sent by Christ, who tells us that he's the resurrected John the Baptist, and he was resurrected when Christ rose from the tomb. So what we see from here right there is true. And notice that, and I read to you in his words that he gave, he said, I rose when Christ arose from the tomb. So Christ had to pave the way for the resurrection, okay? See, notice he didn't claim nobody else. He rose with, you know, he claimed he rose with the redeem of the Lord. But overall in that same message, he names Christ, who was the one that paved the way for the resurrection. Without Jesus, people, there is no resurrection, period. None of that. No resurrection. Without Christ, there is no resurrection. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, as I said to you, John was one of these saints. Now, we're going to go a little deeper in this. Now, somebody may say, well, how do you know that he was one of these saints? Okay. Well, we know from, first of all, defining the word saints according to the Greek. In other words, looking at what was the original Greek word there that was translated saints. The original Greek word that was there is hagios. And hagios means sacred, physically pure, morally blameless, or religiously ceremonial, consecrated. Okay? Now, all of that fits the bill of John the Baptist, okay? All that fits the bill of him. Once again, the word hagios, which was translated saints, means sacred, physically pure, morally blameless, or religious, ceremonially consecrated, okay? Those were the saints, okay? Glory to God. Well, let's go a little bit deep on that. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Now, for those of you perhaps who are first-time listeners, I just want to advise you to write this down. Like I said to you, we're not trying to be hideous of anything. This is why when I read to you about the messages, I give you dates. Because I want you to look it up, to ask God about it, get a witness for yourself, okay? Very important that you do that. Because in this day and time, you know, the Bible tells us that Satan, in his second book of Corinthians, and no marvel, for Satan transformed himself into an angel of light. So just like you got the good, which is representing the Lord, you also have the evil at hand too. Some people sometimes, quote, open themselves up to deception because they get off the foundation Christ laid. For example, you have some that think that, okay, maybe the Lord sent an angel to visit them one time. And now they carry this mentality that the only way they're going to do anything or listen, that an angel got to come. So they get away from the Bible. You know, they get away from it. You start talking about the Bible. I wait for God to send me an angel. Well, God didn't say that's the way you live your life in him. Now, if he's sending you an angel, thank God, but he's not sending you an angel to come, quote, instruct you every time, every day. You got the written word. You got the spirit of the living God in you if you say. So you got those two things. And like I said, sometimes God would do something particular, and people build a whole, you know, what do you want to call it, doctrine or thing around it, and they get off the path, okay? Amen. You know, there are some people who God has maybe spoken in an audible voice to, okay? And you look at the scriptures, you know, whenever God spoke in an audible voice to someone, it wasn't like he was speaking to them every day all the time like that. Now, some of you listen, you know, you may have had a once-in-a-lifetime experience with God. God may have spoke to you in an audible voice once, okay? But just because he did that doesn't mean that that is the set way that he's going to communicate with you every time. And see, that's why I said we bad get off on these tangents and, you know, we start building doctrines where we don't need to be built. Okay, now, Luke chapter 1, verse 13 to 17, the word of God says, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, but thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, but he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Now remember, I gave you the original Hebrew Greek word for saints, once again, which means sacred, physically pure, morally blameless, or religious, ceremonial, consecrated. Well, if you just look at what I read to you, that the angel told Zacharias about John the Baptist, you see that all that implies to him being a saint. Because you see, he was called of God in those words that the angel gave, that he would be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. See, all that is in, he was consecrated. When you read all this, the Lord said he was, many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, doing the work for the Lord, okay? He should not drink neither wine nor strong drink. See, they take care of the physically pure, morally, okay? So we see that the saints that rose in Matthew 27, one of them was John, okay? He was in that crowd of saints. Those saints also being those who were redeemed from the power of the grave, according to Psalms 49, okay? Amen. Do you see that? So this angelic being that's bringing these messages, he said, "I'm the resurrected John the Baptist. Now I rose when Christ rose from the tomb. I am resurrected in and with the Redeemer of the Lord." All what he's saying is true. It's true. I mean, it's the Bible agrees with it. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay? Let's look at Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 to 5. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to verse 5. And the word of God says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Glory to God. "As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye," turn the page here, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. So once again, that's proven right there that he's of the saints, okay? Consecrated to do a work for the Lord. And he went and he preached the baptism of repentance to the people. Amen. Hallelujah. Called of the Lord to do it. Amen. Glory to God. See, he didn't just come on his own and just pick and say, well, I think I'm going to go and just talk to these people. I ain't got nothing else to do. No, he was called of the Lord. Amen. To do what he did. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you know, thinking back to that Luke 1, and to show you that God had a special purpose for John. You know, there are some people that God has a special purpose work for them to do. You can tell, it just, if I can put it this way, there are just certain things that you know that you could call just special. Like, for example, with John the Baptist, you know that there have been people in the Bible, let's say, who have been barren, and then God have blessed them, with a child. And many of them have been able to name them. Well, it's amazing with John. Now, Zacharias, his wife had been barren for a long time, and he had been praying. And after so long, God answered, sent a confirmation through his angel to let Zacharias know, say, okay, I heard your prayer. You're going to have a son, and his name is John. Now, notice that God did not even let them name the child. Okay? He didn't say, okay, you're going to bear a child. You're going to bear a son. You're going to bear a daughter. He said, you should bear a son, and his name is going to be John. So God picked the name out. They're going to show you that there was a special work that John had to do. And then on top of that, how many people have you read in the scriptures who still being in their mother's womb will be filled with the Spirit of God? I'm talking about other than Christ. I'm talking about as far as man being filled with the Spirit of God. See, he had a special work to do. Now, I don't want y'all thinking that I'm trying to uplift John the Baptist over Jesus. That ain't happening. You can forget that. I ain't doing that. But what I'm trying to get you to see is that this special particular work that God had called and consecrated John the Baptist to do. And you can see it in the information that was provided through his angelic being to Zacharias concerning the child. He told him what he's going to have, which is a son, and he told him what his name going to be, and he told him what he's going to do. Now, he let all that, before Elizabeth gave birth, the angel of the Lord was instructed to tell Zacharias and gave all that information to him about him. Okay? Let's go to Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. Thank God for the word of the Lord. Luke chapter 20. And we're going to look at verses 34 to verse 36. Now, I want to give a quick account of this before we go to the verse. Now, according to the word of God here, there were a group of people called Sadducees. And the Sadducees, from what we're told in the scripture, that they didn't believe in the resurrection, okay? And so they approached Jesus with a question. They gave him a little history of something. They said that there was this man that had a wife. And they didn't have no children. And according to, under the Old Testament law, you know, the brother was to, you know, the man died and his brother was to raise up seed unto, you know, the brother that died. If the brother that died and his wife couldn't have children, then the brother would come in and then he will raise up, you know, seed unto, you know, his brother. Well, anyhow, I remember these people did not believe in a resurrection. So now they're going to ask Jesus about the resurrection. And they told him, say, hey, there were seven brethren. The first took her to wife and died without children. Then the second, so each one of the brethren that took her to wife, they didn't have no children with her, okay? And they said, last of all, the woman died. And so the question was, in the resurrection, who wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. Now, that's interesting they asked this question. Now, this is a people that didn't believe in the resurrection. So you say, well, why would they ask them about the resurrection? Well, here's what I saw my Lord in the flesh, what he encountered his time here on earth. You had many people always trying to cross him up, trying to catch him in words. You know, sound familiar? You know, some of you as Christians probably say, hey, you know what? That sound familiar with me. You know, people know I'm a Christian. They always trying to catch me or cross me up and stuff like that. Well, guess what? You know, maybe you feel better to know they did it to Jesus first. And so the Sadducees asked him this question, but when you look at it, you know, they thinking they got him. They thinking they got him. You know, think about it this way. Have somebody ever asked you a question and the answer you gave them, you knew it came from the Lord? I mean, you know, if you were answering under your own power, you probably would have got tripped up because, you know, some people was asking you a question. They was trying to tangle you. But the answer you gave them even blew your mind. I done had that happen to me before. And when it happened, after I said it and went off to myself, I said, Lord, I said, that had to be you to give me that. I said, because any other time with me, just myself, and the brother asked me that question, I wouldn't have known how to answer that. So I knew that God had gave it to me. Well, these people thought they had Christ. So in verse 33, they asked him in 20 chapter Luke, they said, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. Verse 34, and Jesus answered and said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy. And keep that in mind. We'll come back to that in a minute. But they which shall be accounted worthy obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die anymore. Do you hear that? For they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Okay, now. Notice here, and we're still talking about and letting the scriptures prove that John the Baptist was resurrected and became an angelic being. We have seen it in Matthew, and Luke helped put some light on it. And so we look in here, I mean, Luke chapter 1, where the angel of the Lord helped put some light on it. Now we're looking here at the words of Christ himself. And here, these words here, he let us know that John was one of those who was resurrected from the grave. You say, how is that? Well, first of all, notice that he said that, verse 35, but they which shall be accounted worthy. Now, the word accounted means to deem entirely deserving. Now, when you deem something deserving, you consider it. You're considering it to be deserving. And glory to God, seeing that what John went through, okay, and how he stayed the course, what he was called to, yes, he was one of those that was accounted worthy, okay? Amen. So he fits the bill here in verse 35 here, okay? Now, another thing that makes him deemed worthy, okay? Let's go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, okay? Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, starting at verse 1. Matthew chapter 14, starting at verse 1. And the word of God says, at that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servant, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him. Why did he do that? And put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. Okay? So he jailed John because of her. Okay? For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John the Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and then was sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. Well, why was John beheaded? Because he stood on the word of God. So wouldn't that make him, according to Luke 20 about the resurrection, those that are counted worthy, wouldn't that make him to be accounted worthy? Sure would. Because he would be headed for the word of God's sake. He told Herod, he said, hey, it's not lawful for you to have her. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something, people. That's what's going on today, and that's what's going to tense up and even get greater, people. This is why I'm telling you, you all at the beginning of the broadcast, you better get ready. Because if you're going to really be for Christ, you're going to have to tell that word. And you're going to be telling that word to some people that ain't going to want to hear that stuff you're saying. When you tell them, hey, it's not lawful for you to have her, that's adultery. That's not lawful for you to have him, that's fornication. Okay? See, Herod, and at first, you know, he puts John in jail. Okay. And the Bible said he would have had put him to death, but he was scared of the people because they consider John a prophet. Okay. So he was mad enough to want to kill John, but he was so afraid of the people. And he was like, at first, okay, just put him in a jail. Amen. But it took an oath, an evil oath, that caused him to go ahead and do that. And I'm telling you right now, people, that we better get ready. Because like I said, you finna say, and as if you have made a decision to stand for Christ, you finna say some words to some people that's going to make them real hot and mad. And some of these people you have been, you know, good friendship with and stuff like that, you know, some of them is, and there's some of them who may be brothers and sisters in Christ. You finna be shocked by their reaction. You finna be shocked of their anger towards you, okay? Because once again, they're like, I don't want to hear that, you know. And then you have some of them doing some stuff they ain't got no business doing. And when you say it, they already, I already know, okay. And they get upset at you and start giving you the evil eye. Glory to God. And John was put in the prison because he stood and proclaimed the word. Amen. And you got many people today. You got some people that want to play church. You got some people think that the only things to God is they come to service, say a few hallelujahs, do a clap, a dance, a roll on the floor, and then you go home. Some of them think that's the whole routine of serving God. They don't think that you're going to have any confrontations. They don't think that there's going to be people mad enough to want to hurt you. None of that. And so when they start encountering these people, that's when a lot of compromising start happening. Amen. They start compromising. Okay. They kind of do like Abraham, who was in the wrong spirit and lied concerning his wife and told the man Abimelech, hey, that's my sister, because he was afraid that Abimelech could look at her and look how good she looked and kill him. So he was willing to give up his own wife to save his life, per se. Hallelujah. And God stepped in and intervened. And Abimelech said, hey, I didn't know that. And God, you know, verified, said, yeah, I know you didn't know. That's why I come to you at this time. Okay. Thank you, Jesus, to warn you. Now, in that 20th chapter of Luke, it also said about them that they can't die anymore. Well, see, that go with what this angelic being, this angel was telling us, that he's resurrected. He got a heavenly body. In 1 Corinthians 15, you're resurrected with a heavenly body. Thank you, Lord. Thank God for the word of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, because he's worthy to be praised and be glorified. Thank you, Lord. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you once again that your word has been given today. I thank you, Lord, for everyone that was listening. I pray that those that seek your face would find you, even concerning this message. And Lord God, bless your people, those that have heard, who desire to know if this is true. Reveal yourself to them in Jesus' name. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, for such a time as this that you have given, a golden opportunity, and all glory and honor and praise going to thee. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for another blessed broadcast. Don't forget, tomorrow night I will be back on again. Look for the advertisement again tomorrow night. Glory be to God. So I thank God for all you've been listening. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.